Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor, can you hear me right now?
I can hear you clearly. Can you hear me?
I can hear you as well. I can hear you as well. Let's hear from the kids.
Yes, Sesha. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Pastor. I can hear you loud and clear. Sesha, please introduce yourself to everybody.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine.
What's going on? Introduce yourself, where you're from, and one fun fact about you.
My name is Abeleto Teng. I'm from Botswana.
Okay. One fun fact? Guys, we are actually live. We are live. So we don't have time for sniggles and giggles. What's going on? What is one fun fact about you?
I like football.
You like football? Which position do you play?
Number 10.
Number 10. So you're the best in the team, are you not?
I am.
Ah, lovely. And is that your brother or your cousin or your friend? Let's get him into the conversation as well. Hello, friend.
She's my friend.
What is friend's name?
My name is Umuholo.
Oh, Umuholo, you're also in Botswana because you're there with your friend. Tell us one fun fact about you.
Yes. I also like
No, football. It has to be a different one. It can't be that one. We ask Ropa. What is your own fun fact?
It's actually football.
No, there has to be something else. Tell us about the food you like, something you did that nobody knows about.
I like Debonair's pizza.
Which flavor?
Barbecue chicken.
Barbecue chicken. I love that for you as well. All right. So here's one fun fact about me. My name is Mbumi. You guys can call me Mbumi. It's okay. There's no need for auntie or sissy or anything like that. I am Mbumi. I am currently in Centurion at our studios. And one fun fact about me is I absolutely love children, but I don't want children of my own. So I think we're going to have a very good time tonight because I love you guys so, so much. I love interacting with you, but I don't want to be a mommy to anybody. I just want to be an aunt. I want to be that cool mamncane and that cool aunt to everybody without having kids of my own. And now let's hear from Pastor Comfort. Pastor Comfort, what is one fun fact about you? Where are you joining us from? And are you comfortable with us calling you Pastor Comfort instead of your surname?
Yes, I am comfortable for you to call me Comfort, because my name is also Comfort. Okay. I am joining you from Zimbabwe in Mutare at a school called Riverside College.
One fun fact about you, Pastor.
One fun fact about me is that I love running. I always run every time, even when I'm wearing a suit.
Pastor, can we talk about that for a second? There's that verse in the Bible that the wicked run when no one is chasing them. What is the why are you running, Pastor? I cannot understand people who get out of their house and say, I'm just going to run and run and run and come back into the house. Why do you run?
Maybe it's because I'm too hyper. I'm too hyper with a lot of energy.
Okay. And what's the longest you've run? Have you done any marathons?
Oh, I'm not good at long distance, but I'm just good at short distances.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever an athlete?
The longest I have run is only 8 kilometers.
Okay. Okay. That's fine. That's fair. Sesha, are you back? Let's see. I'm going to try and unmute you again. Okay, let's see. Talk to us.
Yes, I am back.
Yay! Victory! 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 Where are you joining us from? And give us one fun fact about you.
I'm joining from Botswana.
Okay.
And I love dancing.
You love dancing. That's my girl. I love dancing too. Okay, so here's how we're going to do this. We are going to be fielding questions from you guys to the pastor. He's nice and young and fresh and energetic. He did say he's hyper, so he should be answering your questions with vigor. And I don't know, you guys speak Tswana, but there's a song, 195, that says, Amandla bewagu Elisha, meaning that strength and that power that was in Elisha, he needs to have that power and that strength tonight. Okay. So who wants to start? Sesha, what is your first question to the pastor and to everybody that is listening? Did you say anything? We couldn't hear you. Go ahead.
Did God really create the earth in 6 days?
Uh-huh. Pastor Comforts, did God really create the earth in 6 days, or are we being lied to?
Oh, that is a lovely, lovely question. Did God really create the world in 6 days, or it's not 6 days? Okay, there is something I want to talk about in simple terms, about what you call literal interpretation of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So people these days, they interpret the Bible differently. Some of them, they interpret it as a symbol or as a metaphor or as literal. Okay, let me explain, brothers and sisters. If we talk about literal, we are saying the Bible as you read it, what it is saying, it's exactly as it is saying. Like, for example, an example of a literal approach. Let me give an example.
Mm.
Like when the Bible says, Jesus wept.
Mm.
What does that mean? It means that Jesus that day, indeed, he really cried. So it's a literal. Just take it as it is, without any hidden meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So in Genesis chapter 1, we learn that God created the world. As he was creating, after every day, the Bible says, then it was morning and evening, day one.
Mm-hmm.
Then on day number 2, it also repeats that. It says what? Morning and evening, day number 2. Up to day number 6. On day number 7, God says, and God finished what he has created. So from this, we can learn that indeed it was what? Evening and morning. So if evening and morning, how many hours do we get from evening and morning? We get 24 hours. So therefore, God really created the world in how many days? 6 days. Why are we saying so? Morning and evening. So it's how many days? 6 days.
So, Pastor, are you saying that a day actually starts at night? Does that order matter? Or do we have it? It doesn't matter. Does a day start at night and then ends as the next sunset? Or does it start midnight when they say 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, happy? When does the day actually start?
Wow, this is a wonderful question. Okay, with all your Bibles, wherever you are, Leviticus 23, verse 32, it talks about when should we begin to count a day. So it says you are supposed to keep the Sabbath from evening to evening.
Mm-hmm.
Other version, they say, from sunset to sunset. So the Bible brings out that the day begins at sunset. Whenever the sun sets, that's when the day begins. And when the sun sets again, that's when the day ends. So it's from what? Sunset to sunset. Not midnight. No. It's not midnight, but sunset to sunset.
Thank you, Pastor. What was that verse? Leviticus what again?
Leviticus 23, verse 32.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Let's go to Abale. What is your question?
Was Adam and Eve not scared of the animals, snakes, at the beginning?
Pastor, we know that they lived with animals. Were they not scared?
Wow. This is a wonderful question. Was Adam and Eve scared for the animals? Well, this question is so exciting. Why am I saying so? Because when we read Genesis chapter 2, we are told that Adam was given a task. Does anyone remember the task that Adam was given? Before I answer the question, does anyone remember the task that God gave Adam concerning the animals? Anyone, before I answer.
Do you guys remember the task? You can unmute yourselves and tell us. Do you guys remember the task that God gave Adam?
Yes.
What was it?
He told them to not eat the tree of good and evil.
Pastor, is that the task or was that the command? Are they right or can they try again?
I want you to try again. I want the task concerning animals, which was given to Adam.
Uh-huh. You guys can unmute yourself. Yes, I see Umuhulu's hand.
That task of the animals was for them to multiply fruitfully.
Is that correct, Pastor?
Because
I think what
you are almost there.
Okay, so what Pastor is asking, what Pastor is asking is, God made Adam, right, and said, Adam, I want you to do something with these animals. So what do you think God told Adam to do about the animals? That is the question. Yes. Omukhulu?
He had told Adam and Eve to name them and to take care of them.
Yay.
Wow. That's brilliant. Exactly. So Adam was asked by God, Adam, here is the thing, Adam. I want you to give names to the animals. Now, as I am picturing this, Adam was supposed to go to each animal. So your question was Adam and Eve afraid of the animals? The answer would be no. Why? Because Adam would go to the animals and name them one by one. And also remember that day in chapter 3, Genesis, we see a beautiful lady. That lady was called what? Eve. That lady was Eve. And we saw Eve talking to what? What did Eve talk to?
Sasha, do you want to try? What is the animal that Eve spoke to? You can unmute yourself and give us an answer. Let's try again. What was the answer?
I see a dove.
Pastor, is that correct?
A dove? Eve! Someone to give it a try. You're almost there.
I think
Eve,
Sasha can try again. Let Sasha try again and then we'll go to our boys. Sasha, which animal, what does the Bible tell us about the animal that Eve spoke to? I'll give you a clue.
I'm not really sure. Yes.
That's the clue. It slithers snake. And
It's a snake. Okay? So our question was Adam and Eve afraid to the animals? No, they were not afraid. Why? Because Eve could talk to a snake. Wow, they had a conversation. They could talk, ask each other questions. The snake said, did God say this? And Eve would reply, no, God did not say that. So they could talk to each other freely. Why? Because they lived in harmony with each other. So in simple terms, when God created the animals and the men, they were all created to live in harmony with each other. They lived together in harmony. No fear was there, just love for one another. Just like you, you don't fear your dog, is it? You live in harmony with each other.
Abale seems to have a follow-up question. Abale, what is your question? You raised your hand. Do you want to?
So when they ate the fruit, Adam and Eve ate the fruit. That's when sin started.
Pastor, did you catch that?
Okay, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit,
is that when sin started?
Okay. That's the question. Is that so?
Yes.
Wonderful. What is sin? 1 John 3:4. I'll repeat. 1 John 3:4. Let me repeat for the last time. 1 John 3:4. The Bible says, whoever commits sin transgresses the law. So sin is disobedience to the law. So what did Adam and Eve do? Adam and Eve, they ate. Remember in Genesis, God had told them in 2:16, God had told them, Adam, Eve, please don't eat the tree which is in the middle of the garden, which is in the center of the garden. Don't eat. But we saw Adam and Eve, they ate. So when they ate the tree, they had sinned. That's how sin entered, or that's when sin entered into the world. So when sin entered to the world, do you know what changed now? That harmony, that relationship, that fear now came into the world. So Adam and Eve were now afraid of the animals. Animals were now afraid of Adam and Eve. Everything was now chaotic. Everything was now confusion. There was no more peace and love towards one another.
Pastor is so good at explaining. I'm so, so happy that we have you to answer these questions. Umukhulu, what is your question for Pastor?
My question for the Pastor was, where was he getting the materials for creation from?
Sesha, do you have...
Wow,
hold on, Pastor.
Powerful question.
Pastor, before you continue, I think... Pastor, I think Sesha has something to say.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you can, my babe.
Of Abel's question, did Adam hesitate to see the animals when he went into the garden before when they were first created?
What do you mean by hesitate? Like he was like, yo, that one looks like it can bite me. That sort of thing.
Yes. Okay. Was he scared?
I think Pastor just told us that he wasn't scared because the world was perfect. There was already a... Let me ask you something. Are you scared of your mom? Like when you first saw... Okay, you can't remember when you first saw your mom. But when you wake up in the morning, are you scared of your mom? Like, oh, my mom is so scary. Are you scared?
No.
But you respect your mother, right? You respect your mother as a grown up and as somebody who gives you instruction, right? So in the beginning, I think that's exactly what it was like. The animals, there was an understanding between God, man, which was Adam, and the animals, that it was God, and then it was man who was responsible and in charge of the animals. So the animals knew their place, and Adam was not scared as well. So even when he first saw them, he wasn't like, oh, a lion, let me run. There was nothing like that. He wasn't, that crocodile looks like it has big teeth. Maybe it will. There was none of that until they ate the fruit, and then fear started. So now Adam and Eve were scared of the sharks. The sharks were scared of Adam and Eve. That is what the pastor just said. In the beginning, there was no fear. There was an understanding. And I think when pastor talks about harmony, it's exactly that, that everything and everyone knew their place. Adam knew who God was. The animals knew that Adam was in charge of them. But when they sinned, everything was just messed up, and everybody was afraid of each other except for God. Obviously, he wasn't afraid of us, but even Adam and Eve were afraid of God, and that is why they ran away when they heard him come to the garden. So that is what pastor said. Do you understand it better now?
Yes.
Fantastic. Pastor, let's move to the question that Umukhulu asked. He said, we hear that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. When we think about creation, I need flour and eggs and milk to create a cake. Where did God get all the material to create everything that we see? That is what Umukhulu is asking us.
Wow. You know, this question is so important. It's so important. Thank you for bringing this question at the table. There is something different about human beings and God. What is it that difference about human being and God? Is that human beings, whenever they want to build something, they need raw materials. Mm-hmm. So human beings, whenever, let's say they want to build a house, they need cement, they need bricks, they need water, they need things or raw materials in order for them to build things. But God, because he is God, and God is, I'm going to give you a big word today. Let me give you a big word. Please let me give you a big word, my friends, a big word. First big word I'm going to give you is that God is omnipotent. What? What is that big word? God is omnipotent. I'll repeat it again. God is omnipotent. What does that mean? It means God is all powerful. Is what?
All powerful.
He has all the power. You know, power. All the power you can think of. Now, Hebrews chapter 11. I'll repeat the verse. Hebrews chapter 11. You go and read it, verse number 3. Hebrews 11, verse number 3. It tells us something. It says, by faith we understand that God created the world using his word. And the things that are seen, please listen to this part now. The things that are seen were not created from by the things which are seen. Oh, let me repeat. The things that are visible were not created from the things which are visible. So God, when he was creating, he created from nothing. What? From nothing. You look, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And what happened? Then there was light. So just by his word. Oh, just by what, friends? By his word. He just said, let there be light. And there was what, friends? There was light. So in summing up the thing is that when God was creating, he used his word. But guess what now? Mm-hmm. But when God was creating man, when God was creating man, he did not command like what he did to light. But when God was creating man, because man was so special, God used a raw material Oh, what was the raw material? He used the dust from the ground, and God formed the man carefully, make sure that the nose is in its place, the eyes are there, the ears are there. God made man perfectly with raw materials because man was so important. But what about stars? Stars, he called them into existence. What about the sun? He just said, let there be sun. The sun was there. So what am I saying? I'm saying God created, number one, from what? From nothing. He just called things into existence. Number two, God also used the raw materials. But the raw materials he used are the raw materials he had called into existence.
That is so amazing. That is so beautiful. Sesha, what is your next question? Hold on, let me unmute you. We're listening.
Why did God choose a rib to create Eve? Why not any other body parts?
Pastor, why a rib and not a part of the leg or a part of the arm or a part of the face?
Why a rib? Why a rib? I want to picture this. I want us to picture this as we try to answer the rib, isn't it? Why not the leg? Why not from the leg, isn't it? Why the rib? If there is a part that is so delicate to us, our ribs, isn't it?
Pastor, you we use big words. Pastor uses big words. Delicate. My 10-year-old brains can't figure out what delicate is. What does delicate mean?
Okay. If there is a place, I'm trying to figure out a word that is. Let me try to find a word. If I say delicate, I'm talking about a place which we cherish the most, a place which we don't want anything to happen to it.
Yes,
that is the reason.
Because it's breakable. Because it's easily breakable. It's easily breakable.
Yes,
it's very soft. Yes,
soft. A place where it is soft, isn't it? Are the ribs? Everybody always protect their ribs, isn't it? Everybody always protected them. We always protected them. So maybe, God used the ribs. Why? To show the close relationship of Adam and Eve. To show the what? The close relationship of what? Of Adam and Eve. Another thought is that the ribs, so that Adam and Eve would rub shoulder to shoulder, so that Adam would protect Eve just like Adam would protect his what? His ribs. And also, you know what? If Eve was from the legs, Adam would step on Eve. I think also that way. But because Eve was from the ribs, Adam would protect her as flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. So I'm saying the ribs represented companionship equal to men, to take side by side, not head or feet.
Sesha, is that explanation good enough for you? Do you understand it better now?
Yes, I understand it very well.
Fantastic. Abale, let's go. Your question.
Since there was no light at the beginning, how did God see around?
Pastor, when it's dark, we can't see. How did God see?
How did God see when there was no what? No light. Well, that is a good question, my dear. That's a good question. Okay. I'll give you a Bible reference. Chapter 139. The book of Psalms, chapter 139, the book of Psalms. Here is David. That's where we find our verse 14, where it says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. In chapter 139, we see David saying, I cannot hide from God, because even if I go into the darkness, God is there in the darkness. Wow! Please listen, my brothers, my sisters. God can see even in the what?
In the dark.
Why? Because God is so powerful. Wow. So how did God see without light? God doesn't need light. Why? Guess what? When we are saved, the book of Revelation tells us that when we are saved, please guess what? When we are saved, there is no sun, there is no light, but God is the light. Woo-hoo. So how did God see? God saw because he is the what? He is the light. He is the light. So he doesn't need any other external light to see, because he himself is the what? Is the light. Malachi chapter 4, it tells us he is the son of righteousness. Mm. Wow! He is our son. He is the light.
Ah, lovely. Abale, is your question answered?
Yes, ma'am.
Fantastic. Umukhulu, what is your question?
My question is, why 6 days, not five, not seven?
Why did it need God 6 days? Isn't he so powerful, like he told us that he could have created everything in one day? Why did he need six? And why wasn't it seven?
Why 6 days? Not five? Not two? Not one? Okay. You know, God is so marvelous. One of the reasons maybe that God used 6 days, not seven, is that, you know, 6 days, that's a structure that might represent a pattern of work and rest. Look this. So 6 days and the seventh day, God did not create, but 6 days, it's a pattern which represents 6 days for human beings to work. So when God was doing all these things, he was forming a structure or a pattern that people would follow. Now, the seventh day now becomes the completeness of everything else. We'll wrap it up and bring the blessings now. So 6 days, because God was creating a what? A structure or a pattern that humans should follow.
I love that. Pastor, you use very big words. I just want to dumb it down for the kids. I want to make sure that they understand. So what Pastor is saying is that when God was creating the world, because he was creating the world for us, he wanted to show us how to live in this world. So when God creates it on day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, and day six, he was doing his work in those 6 days, so that when we then are in the world and we are born, we also know that we should work in the 6 days, like it is written in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. 6 days you have in the week to work. So what God did after he created you and me on the sixth day is that he rested, because he wanted to show us that after you have worked for 6 days, then you can rest. He wasn't tired. God doesn't get tired. But he wanted to do things in a way that shows us how we should do things as well. So you must always remember that when you think about creation, that the world was created for us. And it was created by a God who loves us. And so he wanted us to see how we should live in the world. So on Sunday, you can't rest. You have to be working, because 6 days are there to work. But luckily for us, we have Pathfinders on Sunday and all of those things. But what Pastor is saying is that the 6 days was to show us an example of what we should do before the Sabbath. Pastor, am I capturing it correctly?
Lovely. That is exactly. Thank you so much for clarifying it.
Thank you. Pastor is an academic. Your answers are at my level. So I just want to make sure that all the kids understand exactly what we are saying. They are brilliant, though. I love the scriptural reference. It's amazing. Sesha, my girl, it's your turn.
Why was the tree of good and evil in the center of the garden?
Thank you. You want that question, Sesha? Nami, I want to know. Why did God put the tree of good and evil in the garden, knowing what it would do to us if Adam and Eve ate of the fruit? Pastor, we need the answers.
Wow. That is the most important question. Why was the tree in the center? Why was the tree in the center? So firstly, I'll answer why it was in the center, okay. Right?
Okay.
Then I'll answer the second question on that question of that. Why did he put that tree in the first place? Okay. In the center, it means the tree was very, very important. Should I repeat? In the center, something which is at the center, like for example, our heart, it's at the center, you know, it's at the center. So it's very, very important. So the thing that is at the center of your life, the thing at the center of my life, those things are the things we say they are so important to us. So the tree was at the center because it was important. Now, the question now goes on to say, so why did God put that tree at the center? Yes, it was important, Pastor. You have told her that it was important. But so why did he put that tree? God placed that tree so that he would test. Test what? Test what? Look at this. When God created Adam and Eve, he said, let us make man in our own image. What? In our own what? Image after our likeness. So Adam and Eve were supposed to be, can I say little gods? Yes, something like that. In the image of God. All right. Does God make decisions? Yes. How many percent? 100%. God makes decisions? 100%. So Adam and Eve were also supposed to make decisions. So they were given something. Please listen closely now. They were given something. I'll repeat. Adam and Eve were given something. What is it? They were given freedom. What? They were given freedom, the power to choose, the power of choice. So Adam and Eve were supposed to choose between good and wrong. So what are you saying, Pastor? Pastor is saying Adam and Eve were not robots. Do you know robots? Anyone who knows robots, tell me something about robots so that my answer can be complete. Just anyone unmute, tell me something about robots.
Abale, you can go ahead.
Yeah.
Robots use electricity and some of them need to be charged up.
Okay, robots use electricity. All right, someone else?
Omukholo?
Robots are from artificial... from AI.
Okay, artificial intelligence. Okay.
Okay.
Sesha?
Robots are machinery.
Okay.
Yeah. There's another hand there.
Some robots like have more knowledge and some robots have more knowledge than humans. So some humans use them to like answer our questions and whatever.
Is that true, Pastor, that robots have more knowledge than us?
Okay.
Some of them.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Do robots think?
Yes.
Can I ask you a question, brother?
Yes.
Abale said you can ask the question.
Okay,
Pastor.
Okay. If
That's your question.
Pastor, are you okay? What's happening? Okay, we seem to have lost the pastor there. We seem to have lost the pastor. Pastor was crashing out because his network is doing things. In any case, I think what Pastor was trying to say, and he'll come back and finish it, is that if there was no tree of knowledge and of good and evil in the garden, then Adam and Eve could never make a decision. It's like if I say to you, do you want snacks? Yes or no? You can unmute and answer. Do you want snacks?
Yes.
And then I say to you, well, here are the snacks. This is the only thing you're getting. And you don't like knickknacks, so you don't like cheese. Did you have a choice?
I do.
Okay. But some people don't, right? And so if I say to you, these are the only snacks you're getting, then it means you don't have a choice. But if I say, let's pretend that this is Lay's, nah? And this is Doritos, okay? If I say to you, hey guys, do you want snacks? What will be your response?
Yes.
All right. I've got Doritos. I've got Lay's. I've got knickknacks. Which one do you want because you have a choice? Then you can make the decision, right? Okay. Abale, which one would you choose?
Lay's.
All right. This would be yours. Umuholo?
Doritos.
And Sisha, when you'd be left with the knickknacks because that's all we had. That's all we have. But that was the point. If they did not have every tree, then they wouldn't have to make a choice. All they would have was this. So then it would mean they are robots because they are doing everything that God says they should do, the way God says they should do them, and they don't have a choice. But Pastor's back. He will give us a better explanation than I just did. Pastor, let me add you to the stage. You are now here. Continue. Please unmute yourself and continue, Pastor.
Okay. I was talking about robots.
Yes.
And robots, this word, I'm trying to find a word which is
I'll help you, Pastor.
Simpler.
I'll help you.
Robots are programmed.
Ah, so robots are told what they should do.
Aha. And they only follow that. If you say to a robot, go left, it doesn't think. It just goes left.
Mm.
If you say to the robot, go right, mm-hmm. It doesn't think. It just goes right.
Mm.
They are just programmed to do that.
Mm.
But God, when he was creating Adam and Eve, humans, he did not create them as robots. He gave them a power to choose, which people call it free will. Mm. They call it what? Free will, the power to choose. Okay, so what are we saying now? That tree at the center, Adam and Eve were supposed to choose to obey what? God, out of their love for God. Not just to say, we just do what God wants without a choice. So that tree was a test. If they passed that test, they were supposed to live with God forever and ever. So the tree was a test to see if Adam and Eve would use that freedom they've been given to choose God. To choose God because they love him. So why the tree? Why the tree at the center? Number one, the tree was important. Why? To test Adam and Eve if they would what? Make a wise choice. If they would who? Choose God because they love God.
Mm. Mm. So what Pastor is saying is that if we didn't have a choice for ourselves, we wouldn't know whether we love God or not. But we choose him because we love him. Well, that should be the case. We should choose him because we love him and not because somebody says we should. Am I correct, Pastor?
Yes, 100%, definitely.
Love it. Abale, it's your turn. What is your next question? You guys have you guys have muted yourselves.
Who created God?
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But who created God?
Who created God?
Yeah.
Wow. This is a powerful question. Wow. You know what, my friends? I wish I knew who created God. If we know that person, if we know that the one who created God, do you know what does it mean? Do you know what does it mean? If we find that one who created God, do you know what does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
It means that that one who created God, he is God. You didn't get what I say. Let me repeat that one. I said, I wish I knew the one who created God.
Mm.
If there is somebody who created God, it means that somebody, he is what?
God.
So what are we saying? God was not created by anything or by anyone. God is called. God is called self-existent. What do I mean by that? Self-existent. God doesn't need anyone to exist or doesn't depend on anyone to exist. So God is the creator, not the creature. He was not created. He has been there from I don't know. He has been there from forever and ever, from eternity, from forever and ever. God was not created by anyone else. If he was created by anyone else, he stops to be God. Why? Because he will be a creature.
Pastor, why should we believe, or how is it that we can believe? And I'm asking this because maybe this might not be their question now, but as they start doing things like science and they get into university, if that is going to be their path, they are going to be presented with so many ideas and so many beliefs. They will hear about the Big Bang Theory. They will hear about evolution. They will hear about all these things. So why should we believe something we cannot see? So you are telling us that God was not created by anyone. How can we believe that? And why should we not believe everything else that is going to be told to us as we grow up?
Wow. This is a powerful question. Ha! God, we cannot see him. But guess what, my brothers and my sisters? Yes, we cannot see God. But God has made himself known to us. How? By sending someone to us. There is somebody who came from God. I don't know if someone knows that person. Who came from God? Someone who came from God, who was sent by God. Who is that person who was sent from God? Who came from God? Who was with God from the beginning? Yes, I'm seeing a hand there.
Go ahead, guys.
Adam.
Yes, Adam, yes. But there is somebody now, different from Adam, but that somebody now When we sing, we shall see him with something on his hands, something in his hands, something in his hands, something like that. Something in his hands. I don't know, something in his hands. Sisha? Everybody is an answer now. Who is that person? Who is that person?
It's Sisha's turn.
Let's give the chorus answer. Nice. You can give the chorus answer.
Let's go. Everyone at the same time.
Jesus Christ!
Jesus Christ!
Yes, yes, yes. That's correct. It's Jesus Christ, isn't it? So, the reason we have to worship God is that there is somebody who lived with God, somebody who was with God, who came down on earth and was born by a woman called Mary, and that person lived here on earth, and it can be what? It can be what? It can be proved that even those who do not worship, they can know. You know, do you know the holiday that everybody remembers about that person? Do you know the holiday that everyone, whether you worship God or you don't worship God, that holiday which happens sometime in December, anyone who knows that holiday, anyone who knows that holiday, it starts with, let me not give a clue. That holiday that everybody knows, that holiday. Sasha, do you know that holiday?
Yeah.
Uh-huh, Sasha. Christmas. Yes.
Christmas,
isn't it? Christmas is a holiday that everybody celebrates in remembering something. What is it? The birth of Jesus Christ. So everybody knows that Jesus was born here on earth. Although they don't know the actual date, but they know he was what? He was born. So the fact that Jesus came and lived here on earth, that's the reason why we should believe in God more than anything else. Whether evolution, whether, I don't know. But the only reason we have is that we have Jesus who lived on earth. And Jesus can be proven that he came and he lived here on earth.
I love that. Umukhulu, what is your question?
My question is, why did he create so many animals? Are they all still there?
Pastor? Yeah, so, oh, sorry, Umukhulu, continue.
I mean, were dinosaurs there?
Did you catch that, Pastor? Why did God create so many animals? Number one. Number two, do they all still exist? And number three, were dinosaurs there?
Okay. Thank you, Mkulu. It's your wonderful question. It's a wonderful question, isn't it? Why did God create so many animals? Why did he create so many animals? Number, you know, an answer that we can give, Mkulu, is that, and everybody else, is that God created so many animals to show his power. What did I say? He created so many animals to show his what? His power. That I am powerful. So he created many animals. So many animals, different as they are, they show that we serve a God who is so powerful. Now, the Bible does not specifically mention dinosaurs. You spoke about dinosaurs, isn't it? The Bible does not specifically mention dinosaurs. But as we start the Bible, there's something I want to bring to your attention, my friends. There is something called archaeology. Oh, what is it? Archaeology. Can you listen to it? Let me repeat it again. It's called archaeology. What is that? It's not something which is big. It's not a big thing. Archaeology, it is digging things from the past, isn't it? So you go into an area, you start digging, and you can find bones, you can find skeletons. As they were digging, they found big skeletons. And those skeletons, they show that they were big animals, gigantic animals, and these animals were huge. And some of the animals, archaeologists, they say some of the animals were dinosaurs. But they are no longer existing right now. Let me give you one of the reasons why I think dinosaurs are no longer existing. Okay? Back in time. Let's go back in time. Back forward. Back. Boom! We are now during the time of Adam and Eve. We are back there. We have gone back. So during Adam and Eve, the Bible says they were created and they were very huge. What did I say? Adam and Eve were very what?
Huge.
Do you remember what I said about the relationship between Adam and animals? We said Adam and animals, they lived in harmony. Harmony means they were at peace. They could live. Nothing would eat each other. Now, imagine now, when sin entered, that relationship was changed. What did I say? When sin entered, the relationship of love and loving one another was changed. So as it was changed, now animals were now afraid of human beings. Human beings were now afraid of animals. So they would eat each other. So God, in his love, during the flood, maybe during the flood, he allowed all the huge, huge animals, all the big animals to die in the flood. Why? So that they will not become a threat, so that they will not become dangerous, so that they will not affect human life. So I said in simple terms, number one, I said God created many animals. Why? Because it shows his power. Then number two, we spoke about digging of the past, isn't it? Digging. As he was digging, as people are digging in the past, they are finding big skeletons. And these skeletons, they show that they were big animals. They were big animals. Why big animals? Because when God created everything, it was big and great. But sin, as it entered into this world, sin is making everything to become very small and very tiny, very small and very tiny. So we are saying maybe dinosaurs were there, but sin has made them to become, extinct, extinct. To disappear, all right, disappear. Yeah. So animals have disappeared, isn't it? Big animals have disappeared so that human beings can be safe.
That is so good. You know, and I think what is so good about it is because the reason why God brought the flood was because he was disappointed with how man was becoming. The Bible tells us that man was thinking evil thoughts continuously. And so God said, I need to wipe all of them off the face of the earth. But even as he was doing that, even as he saved the family of Noah, he still destroyed the big animals so that the man could have a second chance. When they do try to do good again, to not be overwhelmed and beaten by these big animals. Such a loving God. That is so good, Pastor. Thank you for that. Sisha, what is your next question, my girl? Let me unmute you. Okay, go ahead.
My questions are finished.
Your questions are finished? Okay. Abale, do you have more questions?
I'm not sure.
How? Guys? Omukholo? Okay, Pastor, there were some other questions, right? I don't know why they've forgotten their questions.
We have a question, though.
Okay, let's go.
Where is heaven?
Pastor, where is heaven?
What?
Where is heaven?
Wow. Cool. Hey, you guys, you boys, this is a powerful question. Where is what?
Heaven.
Where is heaven? Okay, before I answer, let me hear you guys. What do you think? I've been giving answers, not asking you, what do you think? Let me just hear from you. We want to hear from you. Everybody must hear from you. Yes, let's go. What do you think?
I think it is insane.
Let's start with Sasha. Sasha, where is heaven?
I think heaven is located somewhere up in the sky. In
way up in the sky. Okay. Uh-huh. Boys?
I think that heaven is in above the atmosphere.
Anyone else? The last one?
I think heaven is in a spiritual place. When you die, or maybe let's say you're talking to God or something.
Okay. Pastor, I'm hearing states of the dead come into play.
Okay.
I'm hearing science, atmosphere. I'm hearing spiritual. I'm hearing up in the sky. Clarify for us.
Thank you. Number one. Do you remember that day when someone was talking to his disciples and it so happened that he had resurrected? Do you know that person who resurrected? Someone who resurrected and he was talking to his disciples? Who is that person? Yes?
That person is Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Nazareth. It's Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah.
So Jesus was at a mountain in a place called Galilee. I'll repeat, he was in a place called what?
Galilee.
Acts chapter 1, verse 11, verse 9, 10, and 11. Acts chapter 1. I'll repeat, Acts chapter 1. It says, Jesus, as he was talking, it so happened that he started to go up, as he was going up, until they could not see him anymore. So he went up direct, isn't it? He went up direct into the skies. Then above the skies, he went up. So where is heaven? I'll check the verse, but it's found in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, I'll check the verse where Paul says heaven. He talks about the place where God lives. He talks about, you know, we have got this heaven, we have this sky, we have got the sky, then above the sky we've got the atmospheric heaven where we have the atmosphere there, then we've got the starry heavens where we have stars, then we have heaven deep up there where God is. But there is something that came up. Someone says something here about dying, going there. But guess what? This is a reference. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What is it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and verse 17. It says, I'll repeat, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. It says, wow, listen to this verse. The Lord himself shall come down from heaven with a shout. What will he do? He will come down from where?
From heaven.
With a what?
A shout.
And when he shouts, there will be a trumpet. Do you know a trumpet? There will be a trumpet. There will be a trumpet. And that trumpet is going to sound loudly. It will be loud. In that trumpet now, when it sounds so loud, do you know what happens? I love that day. I can't wait for that day. When the trumpet sounds so loud, please, it will be loud. It will be very loud. When it sounds so loud, do you know what is going to happen? Everybody, including you, including me, will hear it. But guess what? Everybody, even those who are dead. What did they say? Those who are dead are going to hear the trumpet, are going to hear the voice of the Lord. And what will happen to them? They are going to rise. Now, when they rise, you and me, let's say it happens tomorrow. Yes, it happens tomorrow. We hear the trumpet. Whoa! We hear the trumpet. Whoa! You know, the dead will rise. And those dead, when they rise, with those who are alive, will start to fly. We are going to fly. You are going to fly. I'm going to fly one of these days. I'm going to fly. You are going to fly. Then we'll start to fly with Jesus. We'll fly with Jesus and we go up, up and higher. We see the sky. We see the stars. We'll go up. We'll pass the clouds. We'll go up, 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 up until we reach heaven where our God is and where Jesus is. The place is preparing for you and me. He said, I go to prepare a place for you and me. And he's going to come to take us there in heaven. That's far. We cannot locate it now, but we know it's up there, up, 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 up. It's above the stars. It's above the clouds. It's above the atmosphere. But we only go there when Jesus comes again the second time to take us home.
So good. Thank you, Pastor. Some of the other questions that they sent in was, why didn't Eve ask the devil to eat the fruit first? I'll come to you, Umukhulu. So, Pastor, that's the question. Why didn't Eve ask the devil to eat the fruit first?
Yes. Why didn't Eve ask the devil to eat the fruit first? The devil here was in form of what, by the way? By the way, it was in form of a serpent. Yes, that's correct. A serpent was in form of a serpent. So maybe I'm thinking, just like as you're thinking right now, I'm also thinking, maybe because the serpent or the snake did not eat fruits. Maybe. So Eve did not ask the serpent, maybe. That's number one. Number two, Eve was curious, right? Mm. Why I'm saying was curious? Because if, you know what happened? He just found out something here. He found the serpent talking. He found it what? Talking. Yes, it was talking and it said, this tree will make you wise. So maybe if, as he talked to the serpent, she just thought that the serpent is talking because the serpent has already eaten the tree, the fruit. That's why Eve maybe didn't say, eat the fruit, because the serpent was talking, which confused, which surprised Eve. So Eve did not ask the serpent because he saw the serpent talking. So to Eve, she thought that maybe the serpent is talking because the serpent has already eaten the fruit.
Mm. It could also be, Pastor, and I don't know, you're the one who went to theology school and not me. The promise that the snake made to Eve was, you will be like God. And Eve knew that the closest creature to God was her and Adam. So I don't think in her mind it would make sense that if this snake eats this fruit, they will suddenly become like God if the snake is not even like Adam and Eve. So it was, and I don't know how to say too far-fetched, but like it's like saying this can easily become this because they are both bottles. But I can't be a bottle even if I ate knickknacks. I can't be a bottle. But perhaps if I put some color on this and I carve it a little bit, then it will become like this. So maybe in Eve's mind, she thought, but the snake can never be like God because it is a snake. It is an animal. But I can be like God because I'm made in God's image and his likeness. What do you think?
I think, yeah. It's, yeah. Thank you so much for bringing that out. I think it's more close to the truth. I think that's the truth. maybe that's the reason why, isn't it? Yeah. Thank you so much for that one.
All right. And then there was another one that said, why did Adam have to sleep during Eve's creation?
Wow. Why did Adam have to sleep during Eve's creation? Wow. I think this was a good thing so that Adam might learn to trust God. Mm. To trust God and to surrender to God.
That is
allowing
so good.
God to create Eve without Adam's direct involvement.
That
Imagine.
Is so good.
If Adam was he was watching. Maybe you say, God, God, no.
I want it to be yellow.
No, I don't want that. No. The nose is big. Change the nose. God. No, God. I want someone who is what? Taller. God, Eve is short. So Adam had to sleep so that God would bring someone whom Adam would appreciate because Adam trusted God. So Adam was to sleep so that he surrendered everything to God and God gives Adam Eve. And do you know what Adam said when Adam saw Eve? Adam was excited. He was excited. He became a poet. He started to talk about poetry, isn't it? He started to talk about things. Wow. Because God gave Adam what he really wanted. So Adam had to sleep to show that he trusted God, to show that he surrendered everything to God. Time will come, my brothers and my sisters, where you are going to choose your partners in life. Please sleep like Adam, isn't it? Allow God to choose for you without watching. Close your eyes, sleep. Allow God to choose for you.
Guys, do you want to get married? Umukhulu, do you want to get married? One day.
I don't know. It's a hard choice, though.
Why is it hard to answer?
I don't even know that I should even get married.
Avali, do you want to get married?
No.
No? Why not?
No. I
had
to spend all my money alone.
Okay.
Hey, now where to go?
Okay. Sisha, do you want to get married?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sisha wants to get married. And Pastor, I'm asking because you mentioned that they would one day have to choose partners. And it was just interesting for me to find out what they think about that. But we all have 5 minutes before the show comes to an end. And I think what you mentioned at the end with that answer about why Adam slept is so important, because you mentioned things like trust, you mentioned surrender, you mentioned things like involvement. And by involvement, I mean we want to tell God what he should do. And I think I'd love for you to end off this conversation by bringing that closer home, right? At their level, I think they might be in grade 5, grade 6, because they are all 10 years old. What does it look like for them in the day-to-day to trust God, grade 6, to trust God, to surrender, and to let God be the one that decides how their lives should go? I'd love for you to answer that in the end. Right now, I do want to give all of them the platform to either say what. So you guys, what did you learn today? What is the biggest thing that you learned today? Do you still have a question that you'd like Pastor to answer? And once you are done, then we will let Pastor wrap it up with what it looks like for you to trust God. So I'll go to Umukhulu because his hand is up. Tell me what the biggest thing you learned today is. If you still have a question, ask that question as well.
The biggest thing that I've learned today is trust. trusting God.
Okay. God. Which answer made you learn that?
The one for why did Adam sleep?
Okay.
Why God made
Eve.
Love it. Love it. Do you still have a question?
No.
All right. It was so lovely to have you here. Thank you for your beautiful, intelligent questions. Abale, what did you learn today? What is the biggest lesson for you?
I learned that we should not try to be above God.
Ooh.
Or else there will be consequences.
Ooh, that is so good. And which answer gave you that lesson?
It is the one that when Adam and Eve ate the fruit and sin started.
Ooh, that is so, so, so good. And that is a lesson that we even need to learn at our old age now, to really not want to be above God. That is so brilliant. Thank you for coming. You were absolutely amazing. Sisha, what is your biggest lesson?
I've learned that we should always take care of each other. And live in peace and harmony.
Oh, that is so good. That is so, so good. I can assume where that answer came from, but let everybody know which answer did that lesson come from.
I got the answer from the question, why did God take a rib from Adam's body, not any other body part?
Oh, I love that so, so much. It was nice to have another girl in the room with all these guys and their guy energy. So thank you for coming tonight. You were absolutely amazing. Pastor, over to you. We've only got a minute to close out the show.
Okay. I want to thank you guys. It has been marvelous. It has been wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Sasha. Thank you, Mkulu. Thank you. Oh, the name is coming. It's going far.
Abale.
Abale, yes, Abale. Thank you so much, Abale. Thank you so much, Mkulu. Thank you, Sasha, and others who are watching and listening to this. Thank you so much. It has been marvelous. So to trust, what do we mean by trust? You know that song, as we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus, but only to
trust and what?
And obey, isn't it? To trust is to give yourself to that person without questioning, knowing that person, whatever he says, he knows what is good for me.
Yeah.
Just like your mama and your daddy. If your mama says, let's go outside, you don't question because you know you are safe with her. To surrender now, it is to give yourself to him, isn't it? To give your heart to him. To say, you know what, God? I don't know how to make good choices. Mm. So, God, I want to give my life to you. Please lead my life, isn't it? Have you ever played an instrument? Anyone who have ever played an instrument? Just raise your hand if you have played an instrument. Okay, I can see that one, you know? So an instrument, like I love playing the keyboard. I'm learning the keyboard, the piano. So if you play the piano, the one who is playing is the one who produces sound. So you are an instrument. You are, you know what? An instrument. So God is the one who wants to play your life and produce good music with you. God wants to say, if you are failing maths, God wants to play with you so that you can understand math. So to surrender to God is to say, God, I'm just an instrument. Use me the way you would want in my life. Use me and direct my life.
That is so, so good. Thank you, Pastor, for being God's instrument tonight. You were really used well to answer these questions that other people would have frozen before they could even utter a word. So thank you for that. Everyone, this was this month's Kids Perspective. The next one is on the second week, the second Friday of August. But from me, Sisha, Pastor Comfort, Abale, and Omukhulu, that is good night and happy Sabbath. We will see you again very, very soon. Thank you for joining us. Yes. Cheers, everybody.
Bye.
Let's pray before we close.
Yes, please, Pastor. Please, Pastor. You can tell I'm not their pastor. Please pray for us, sir.
Okay. Let's pray, my friends, before we close, right? I want to pray for everybody. Shall we pray? Dear Father, we come before your throne of grace, thanking you for this wonderful opportunity you have given us to listen and study together. Our prayer, Father, is that help us and meet us all at our point of need. Mm. Bless my friends wherever they are. Bless them at school. Bless them wherever they go. Provide them with healthy. Mm. Bless them because, our Father, let them increase in wisdom, in stature, in favor of God and man. Mm. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Good night, everybody. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.